23rd, special meeting of the Planning and Zoning Board, LPA, to order. Can we call roll, please?
Chairperson Kakwan Ma.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Kevin McCann.
Present.
Board Member James Evans.
Here.
Board Member Michael Ferrante.
Here.
Board Member Bart Phillips.
Here.
Can we please stand for a moment of silence and the pledge? Face the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We have approval of the last month's agenda.
You do have to open public input before we approve the minutes.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. We'll open up for public input. Anybody from the public wishes to speak on anything that's on your mind? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close public input. And now approval of the agenda?
Like adoption of the agenda?
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay. If there's just a consensus amongst you all, then that's fine.
And we have no changes?
No changes.
All right. Item number 100, awards and presentations, not used. Number 200, not used. 300, consent agenda, not used. And we're up to the public hearings. 400, Ocean Blue retail building, final engineering, aesthetic review, and special exceptions.
Go ahead and bring up the items. I'm going to present the Ocean Blue retail building. This is for the aesthetic review, final engineering, and special exceptions. The project is a 7,200 square foot multi-tenant retail building. It's got a faux second story, and the location is next to the Starbucks, right on 434, on the north side of 434 there at the corner of the Blake. The building elements include the faux second story, stucco, brick, and cultured stone, which is pretty compatible with the Blake and the Starbucks as well. I'm going to go to the next slide. The main access will be along what's called Seahawk Cove. That's the east-west street on the north side of the lot there. There's two access points, one shared with the Starbucks, and then it has its own primary spot as well. You'll have vehicular access between both parking lots, but it'll have its own primary parking. There's about 51 stalls, 24 required, so it's adequately parked. Some of the site improvements that complement the town center will be a large 12-foot sidewalk around 434. There'll be enhanced landscaping along Michael Blake Boulevard, as well as Seahawk Cove. They'll also include some on-street parking on Seahawk Cove. This is pretty similar to what the Starbucks did with the tree wells, and they enhanced landscaping through there. You also see there's a location for a future monument sign as well. This approval's not for that, but it'll address the signage for the Starbucks as well as the multi-tenant. As far as traffic goes, Michael Blake Boulevard is adequate with the turn lanes it has there, as well as the turn lane coming off of 434, and then the left turn lane coming on eastbound 434 onto Michael Blake. It's roughly 663 trips, not including the pass-by traffic. Based on the traffic study, all the level of services are still adequate along the roadway.
As unsignalized?
It is unsignalized right now. We do have a signal planned at Michael Blake. We just have to meet the warrants for that. That's likely to happen either with the Hawthorne build-out or Tuscola Crossings. So once that's warranted, we will construct the signal at that location, which it'll help significantly when needed. As far as stormwater goes, the site's master planned into the Catalyst Pond. That's over just east of the trail. There's a large stormwater pond there. That really encompasses the whole area. And then water and sewer is all handled by the city. They've all got stub outs. That was part of the Catalyst project as well, and there's plenty of capacity for that. With the special exceptions, there's five of them. They're relatively typical for the town center of what we've seen. They're generally dealing with setbacks, lot dimensions, lot frontage, and the parking setbacks. Outside of that, if you all have any particular questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Staff does recommend approval of the engineering, the aesthetics, and the special exceptions for this project.
Bryant, with respect to the setbacks, it looks like that it's pretty consistent with what Starbucks had requested. As part of the special exception for the setbacks, I read that there was going to be a knee wall that will be, I don't see the knee wall on there, but is it going to be consistent in as far as how far back that's going to be similar to Starbucks?
The only knee wall portion is kind of tying close back into the monument sign.
I see.
There's not a knee wall that's coming all the way around it like the Starbucks was. That'll mostly be landscaped area through that space between the sidewalk.
Okay, and that's kind of the white area in between the building and?
Yes, because that's
okay.
That's actually DOT. For whatever reason, the DOT right-of-way steps in there, so they're not able to construct any kind of knee wall or anything in that location.
Can we go back to the elevations?
Sure.
Please?
Up one page.
And which is the one that's facing 434?
See, so that'd be our south elevation, which is the middle.
Okay.
So you can see the south and north elevation. It's much like the town center itself, to where the back looks like the front looks like the back. Most of your access is really going to be from that north side over there. That's where the parking is. There'll be a small plaza area for seating and things like that as well. And then you have your side views as well, your east and west elevation. So the building looks nice from all angles. You have that faux second story that's going to kind of help break up the dimensions to where even if you're on Michael Blake or Seahawk Cove or 434, it looks like a good building. You're never really seeing the back of a building.
Okay. And with respect to parking between the Starbucks and this building, there will be, are they asking for any exception or variance to the parking?
No, they're not, except for just parking setbacks. There's special exceptions included for 6-foot landscape medians in between every 6 stalls. In order to meet the count that they're looking for, they need an exception for that. The required parking is about 24 stalls. They're providing 48 and 3 handicap. So we've seen a lot of that. A lot of the tenants are wanting more parking than what's required, especially the Starbucks is a good example of that.
Has there been any request from either of the tenants, Starbucks or this one, to designate specific parking for their business?
It's not designated. There is a mutual agreement between the two that allows cross traffic,
okay,
but not shared parking. Within that agreement, it does state that if they wanted to sign it saying Starbucks parking only, they do need to come through the city for any additional approved signage.
No.
Those are all the questions I had.
Are the handicapped spaces the full size?
They are. The okay. 12 by 20 with the 5 foot. And there's 3 of those.
On the the other diagram, the other picture that you've shown, if you can go down a page, great. And then you just made a mention of the sidewalk. You said the white space in front is not actually the sidewalk.
It's the pattern one.
It's the pattern one is the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. So it matches what's in front of Starbucks.
Yes.
Right, okay, great.
Starbucks only has a 6-foot sidewalk at this time. They're still working with DOT to build that 12-foot. When this project comes on, that entire stretch will be 12-foot, and that's part of town center code.
And then on that diagram, then the knee wall is the dotted black line?
The knee wall is this dark black right here. They're just extending this portion. They may come and try to tie it back in. This is actually the property line. So there's not a whole lot of space to do that similar style knee wall with the way the right-of-way steps in.
But they are doing a knee wall, aren't they?
They're doing just a small portion of it.
Okay.
It back down. Instead of right now, it's just pretty much ends roughly at the property line. They're tapering it down.
Okay. Can we see the diagram with the trees and the plantings?
It may
think it's...
The landscape plan?
Yeah.
If you go to the agenda item, it is the last page in the engineering plans. And this site was previously cleared when the Starbucks came on as well.
Right. No, it's all right. Sorry, I didn't mean to surprise you on that.
So this site, the Ocean Blue, while they're looking, the Ocean Blue and the Starbucks will have separate waste?
They will. They will. They'll have separate waste containers. You can see them up there. No one shares.
Okay.
It's pretty difficult to accomplish that, especially when you're dealing with some of the big players like a Starbucks. And
it's expensive.
They want their own thing, and they have their own rules that they follow.
Do we have any idea of the tenants?
Not at this point.
Just open.
I know Mr. Schultz has been working pretty diligently trying to advertise it, but we haven't had anyone confirm at this point.
And Brian, is it the last page?
Last page of the final engineering.
I guess the only thing that would be a little concerning is that, so there's basically no green space or wall or anything between the roadway and that building.
You'll have green space from the back of the sidewalk up to the sidewalk in front of the building.
Yeah.
In that plan view diagram, I think that, between that patterned area and the building, there is that white space that was going to be landscaping.
That is correct, yeah. And there's some landscape beds in there as well that the site plan doesn't show as clear.
And I understand that retail, and that, unfortunately Mr. Schultz isn't here, I understand retail doesn't like a lot of plantings in front of a piece of retail, but I guess the only minor concern that I would have, or I'd like to encourage them to do, is I know that the City Commission is looking towards doing some work of providing like some green buffer space down 434. Ed, do you have those pictures that came up on Monday during the?
Sure do.
So what this is from Lake Mary Boulevard, and this is what the City Commission has been talking about, including and doing some things where they're requesting some green space between any retail. This is a retail strip, much like what we're talking about. What we're trying to do is maintain the Tree City USA, the beauty stuff and all that. Do you have, what are the other two pictures? Like that's looking down Lake Mary Boulevard. And if anybody recalls it, Lake Mary is actually, and I know I have the numbers wrong, but they're something like 75% commercial tax base, where we are under 10% tax base of commercial and all residential. We're dramatically inverted. But they've done a really nice job at keeping that area really pretty. And then that third picture, and that's an apartment complex about the same size as the Blake, you know, that everyone seems to be complaining looks like a prison and all that. But what they've required is some green space in between so that it can still keep the natural feel and the beauty and all those kinds of things. I know that the City Commission's working toward that. This plan absolutely meets current city codes. And so there's nothing, you know, I don't think that it would necessarily be fair to force that on them when they're meeting all codes. But it would be something I would really like to encourage them to do. And if it's at all appropriate to make a recommendation or to approve with a request that they give thought to those future plans and the vision that and any kind of green space that could possibly, even a small green hedge or something where it's not blocking the retail space. We don't want to hurt their business. We need business to succeed. I've just found out that the brewery, Red Cypress Brewery, has announced they're going out of business. We don't want to hurt business. And so we need anyone that goes in there to, you know, succeed. But maybe just a recommendation of some green space and something short and green. Like Lake Mary says, you have to have at least a hedge, a wall, or a certain number of trees per feet You know what I mean? It doesn't, we can ignore the tree things if they don't want to block signs and stuff, but a hedge or a wall or anything like that in that open space would be appreciated.
They've tried to implement some of that through here, especially on Michael Blake. There's mm-hmm. a hedge line with some higher trees, great myrtles through here, and some landscape beds that are actually running along that frontage, and was acting like that wall, if you will, that come all the way around to the monument sign. Right now, this is planned to be solid through here. I think it's an easy suggestion if they wanted to step that up to some more landscaping.
Yeah.
That's not too big of a deal. We run into issues with being within the DOT right away on what we can and cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
But they tried to provide kind of a compromise, if you will, to where as you're driving, you can still see the face of the buildings and the signage on the building, whatever that may be in the future, as well as having some of that green space.
You got it. And it is really nice that they spent, clearly they're dropping in some oaks in the back, which are always appreciated. That adds green space. It makes the tree, you know, let's see, one, two elms.
Yeah, and some palms.
And palms. Palms are, don't do much to add green space, but I guess I would encourage, or as friendly and as we can to encourage mm-hmm. oaks, or it looks like there's one oak, an elm, and then everything else is on the backside. And then those islands are real short, where they're palm trees. Yeah, hedges, flowers, yeah. Basically, they could just keep in mind anything okay. they can do to add some green space without hurting their business, you know, by blocking signs or anything like that, any kind of green plantings or green space would be greatly appreciated by the residents. Okay. How's that?
That works.
I do have a. I know it's up to code on this one, but I know because I've done a lot of appointments at the Starbucks. The ingress egress there feels very narrow and tight. Are they the same width?
It is. It's about the same width. It's about a 20-foot opening there. What you're noticing probably is more the curb, the radius on the curb. Those mm-hmm. are real narrow. Mm-hmm. They're intended to be in the town center. The thought is it'll help slow people down as they're turning. And
it's just difficult to get two cars out of there at one time.
It is, yeah.
Especially because the Starbucks line backs up.
Yeah.
So this is probably more for the commission going forward on the mm-hmm. development plans. Is there any focus on that via engineering or changing the code there to make that a little friendlier?
It's something we can take into account, you know, as we're kind of learning as some of these projects mm-hmm. come on and what we're dealing with. A good example of some things we're learning is with parallel parking and site distance issues. We're adapting right. as we go with that. There's not a lot of direction on how to handle that.
Right.
So that's definitely something that we can take into account and even look at in this too. If it seems to be too narrow, it's something that can be considered, and we can get with the engineer of record for it as well and get their thoughts too, because we don't want to create conflicts.
Right.
I think there was a diagram in the agenda packet that showed like an auto turn analysis of the vehicle tracking, and you could clearly see that those heavy vehicles would need to encroach upon the opposite lane in order to make those turns.
They do, yeah.
And then just out of curiosity, what is the differential that we're off on traffic counts at Michael Blake and 434 for a traffic signal?
I don't know the number on the warrant yet. You really have to study it.
There's going to be a yeah. 4-hour warrant, an 8-hour warrant,
yeah.
and you're going to have, and there are curves that where you have to meet, where both dots for the major street and minor street have to be above the curve.
Gotcha.
So we're trying to balance it, because if we do the warrant analysis too early, then we're going to have to go back and do it again.
Right.
We're probably pretty close. The original study basically said when Tuscaloosa Crossings is built out, that was planned to be around 2022. It's probably going to be sometime the end of next year at the pace they're going. We'll probably go ahead and do a study at that point and see if we're close. A lot of it will depend on Hawthorne ILF, though, because they're building that extension of Michael Blake across 434.
Has DOT given any preliminary approval of having a signal at that location based on the distance to Tuscaloosa?
Yes, we've previously worked with them, so it'll all have to be synchronized and everything, but okay. But they're on board with it as far as our last discussions go.
Yeah, Michael Blake actually cuts all, so crosses Tuscarawas, goes to the Hawthorne, then up through Tuscarawas Crossings, and then connects to Tuscarawas Road, too. So mm-hmm. anticipation is in, you know, within 5 years, there'll be a traffic light, another traffic light on Tuscarawas at Michael Blake, and a traffic light at Michael Blake and and 434. Am I mistaken?
I'm not sure about Tuscarawas. I haven't heard that. It would probably depend on the west side of Tuscarawas if that was ever redeveloped. That would most likely trigger something at that point. But with Tuscarawas Crossings having four access points, two on Tuscarawas and two on 434, probably spreads the traffic out enough to where you wouldn't quite meet that warrant at that location.
Right. It'd be nice not to have another traffic light there, but right.
Any further discussion? Can I get a motion?
I'm sorry.
We'll open it up to public input on item number 400. Seeing and hearing none, we'll close public input. And now, may I get a motion?
Motion to approve item 400, the Ocean Blue Retail Engineering and Aesthetic.
I'll second it.
All right, call roll, please.
Board Member Phillips.
Aye.
Vice Chairperson McCann.
Aye.
Board Member Evans.
Aye.
Chairperson Ma.
Aye.
Board Member Ferrante.
Aye.
All right, motion passes. On to item 401, West End Professional Center Monument Sign Special Exception.
Right, this is a monument sign within the town center, so that requires a special exception. This is for the office center. It's directly across the street from the Rise. It's a multi-story office building. They've got a new tenant, and they've been working with the owner to request a monument sign to better advertise their business. As far as the sign requirements, it meets all the 434 overlay requirements, and in order to build the sign, they'll need approval of that special exception. This is a rough look about what it's going to look like there. It's 10.5 feet tall, 6 feet wide at the top. It pretty much matches the aesthetics of the building. It complements the town center well. It kind of fills a need that we hear from a lot of tenants in the town center of wanting advertising. They need people to be able to see their businesses and know where they're at. This building doesn't have any building mounted signage either. Go to the next page. This is a general location, so if you're familiar with their plaza area, they've got some planter beds out front. They're basically going to be converting one of those planter beds. Just one more page. Then here's a little bit better look. So you have the main entry right there. That's about where it's going to be. You'll see it really well coming on eastbound 434 there. You should have some visibility of it on westbound 434 as well, even with the landscape through the median. Staff's recommending approval of the special exception for the construction of the sign. And if you have any questions.
How wide are the planter beds? Does the sign basically fit in the same footprint width?
I believe the planter beds are slightly wider. The sign at the bottom is about 5 feet, 5.5 feet.
Sign illumination?
It is illuminated. It's just backlit sign as far as I know. I know the... And it's dual-sided.
So that's going to be roughly 6 foot by 6 foot, and then 10.5 foot high?
It's at the top, it's about 6 feet wide. At the bottom, it's about 5.75, and it's 10.5 feet high.
What's the depth?
I'm not positive on it.
It's perfectly square, isn't it?
Is it?
It is not.
No.
No. Close. Is there a height limit on moving forward? I understand the staff's recommendations, but is there a height being 10.5 foot? Is there on someone else that comes along? I got off the top of my head, I can't think of any monument signs. We have one in front of the city hall. They're all over there, right? We use them all the time, but I hadn't seen one 10.5 foot. Do we have any other ones that high, or
the
are regulations?
Height requirement is 12 feet.
Okay.
A lot of the sign requirements depend on the building that it's going for. So if you have a large building, you can generally have a larger sign. So a lot of it has to do with that copy area as well.
Any other discussion? Just one more question. Can we go back to the figure where the planters are that show the entire? Okay. All right. I was just curious if there was going to be a site triangle, site distance issue, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like it's set back far enough.
Yeah, we took a look at that, and before we actually approve the final permit for this, then we'll verify again. But they should be good on that.
Okay.
I guess I've got a question. I'll throw it out there. What the heck? So the reason we have special exceptions in the town center for monument signs is so we can take a look, right? So this is purely office space, correct?
Yes. I believe the tenant is a family practice
okay.
type provider, and then there's some law offices.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's there's currently two physicians, and then Orlando Health has the option on the second floor. There's some law offices in there. I think Kevin Cannon, the commissioner, has his law office there. But my understanding, Orlando Health has an option on a lot of that space, and that would be great. I mean, we want, and if this sign helps bring in more physicians and professionals and things, that could be good for the community.
And I appreciate you bringing that up, Kevin. I totally had forgotten that physicians were in there, so I retract. I'm good.
One last question, please. Does the monument sign preclude signage on the building itself?
No, it would not. I believe they could still come through and request signage on the building. I believe that would go through ARB, so we would still come back and approve any type through planning and zoning because it's in the town center. It would be a change to their approved aesthetic package.
Actually, finally, Jessup's Reserve or Jessup's Landing, I always get the two mixed, but the back end coming to the office building, those are sidewalls or garages? I think the garages are the alleyways, correct?
These are alleys through here. Where
In between the two buildings. So I know it's backlit, so it's probably not an issue, but have we made sure that the lights won't glare into anybody's windows, anything like that?
If it becomes an issue in our code, we have lighting requirements.
Gotcha.
And we can use code enforcement, code enforcement as needed to work through that, or even work through some type of landscape buffer if needed. There are street lights through there,
right?
Those LEDs, so it wouldn't be more intense than those.
And that enforcement of the lighting, is that the same type of thing we went through with Integra 360 with their lights up there?
That was more of a Duke standard.
Okay.
So that lighting is the Duke standard. What we're experiencing with that is the shift from your standard lighting to LEDs, and the LEDs appear brighter.
Gotcha.
But they did tone those down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That is the new standard.
But it was different. It was different from this. Okay.
And that empty spot to the west there, the empty lot, just grass, that is zoned commercial as well?
That is T5.
Okay.
So it's...
can be...
I believe at one point it was a future phase with a similar type building.
Any other discussion?
How many offices are in that building?
I don't know the actual count of that.
I think it'd be cut up. I think it's a lot of it's still empty, so it can still be divided. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, they typically, for buildings like this, it's more of a shell, and they build out as needed.
I'm just wondering how many signs, individual signs, will be on this monument.
This allows for a maximum of four on it. If they came back and wanted five or six or seven, that would not be part of this approval. So
okay. They
would need to come back. And
I wouldn't want to see them breaking it up with a little sign here, a little sign there.
They'll be bound by what's in this package and the approval. So it'll generally need to conform to this, and adding multiple tenants outside of what's approved, that would qualify for them to have to come back.
It could have four different ones on either side, correct?
Potentially, I guess, yeah, they could do that. as far as advertising, it may not make the most sense to do that, but
better than nothing. Yes.
Potentially they could.
And they couldn't even subdivide directly in half? I think it's at 64 inches, so 32, 32?
They would need to come to approval for okay. that, depending on what the sign plaque looked like.
Okay. It would be like University and 434, where they have Bar Louie and the others, and some of the signs are half a sign or
yes.
a quarter of a sign because no, they exactly had more people about. Show up.
Can they, where it says West End Professional Center, when and if this becomes all physicians, which frankly I think might be great, but if it did, could they have the right to change that to West End Medical Center or something? Can they change that wording and things like that as needed?
I think that'd be a relatively minor change.
Yeah, right. And then that way they can just use physicians underneath mm-hmm. it. Or it might say Orlando Health or something like that.
I think that'd fall into just kind of the name of the business changing.
Yeah. I have no further questions.
Anything further? All right. We'll open it up to public input. Seeing and hearing none, we will close public input on item 401. Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve.
Seconded.
Call for roll, please.
Board Member Ferrante?
Aye.
Board Member Phillips?
Aye.
Chairperson Ma?
Aye.
Vice Chairperson McCann?
Aye.
Board Member Evans?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. And let's see. Regular agenda, item 500, we'll skip. We will open it up to any reports from our board members.
And other than, you know, Monday night was, and then James, you were there as well. And that was interesting. It was good. Residents had an opportunity to talk about the comprehensive plan and what's coming down the pike and other, you know, making suggestions and things like that, which might be a little different, I think. But frankly, we had a lot of common issues with when the developers had their turn. You know, there was some talk about a hotel being built out or the wish for a hotel to be built out on, near 417 and 434, some other. There were talk about, again, saving green space, which seems to be, from, I don't know, anecdotal information, but people that I've talked to in our community in Tuscaloosa, that seems to be a big thing. I think that there was a lot of talk, or what I've been hearing is they want to keep that green space as best they can. They're a little worried they want to improve the west end of town and increasing any kind of green space that they can in there to help beautify and really bring the west side of 434 up and the west side of town. That seems to be a really big issue for folks. And then to care that green space all the way down. So, it was good.
Productive.
Yeah. The meeting genuinely went better than I thought it would.
Yeah, there's a lot of agreement, which is nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Any other reports? No. Okay. We will open it up one final time for public input. All right. Seeing and hearing none, we will close our final public input. And if there's nothing else, then we will stand adjourned.
Wonderful. Cool.